Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 263. Hymn number 226. 226.
Sinful man. Acts 20. And ladies lunch this Friday, first Friday of the month. Ladies lunch this Friday. I'm going to start reading at verse 13 and read down to verse 27. I'm going to try to preach the whole chapter if I can, and I hope I can get through it, but if I can't, I won't. Start in verse 13. You remember last week that Eutychus fell out of Paul preached all night long, midnight. God fell out of wind and died. God raised him from the dead, and they gave him back to him, and then Paul preached till daylight. And then he says this in verse 13, "And we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios, and the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we come to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that my bonds and afflictions abide me or wait for me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all, for I have not shunned declare unto you all the counsel of God." Our great and glorious and blessed God, oh Lord, you're in heaven, and we can't grasp eternity, can't get our minds into eternity. Just we know that it is. We know that eternity has no beginning, no end. And yet, Lord, you say that you inhabit eternity. The great and glorious God of heaven and earth inhabits eternity. You live in eternity. That's where you dwell. And one of these days, by your blessed grace and because of the blood and righteousness of your Son, who came for us, lived for us, died for us, rose again for us, sits at the right hand of God even now, that one of these days we'll enter into eternity. We'll go where you dwell. We'll go what you inhabit. And oh, blessed day that will be. Father, we come into your presence to ask for this to enable me to speak, enable the saints to hear. And we pray for those who are not with us because their bodies are frail and bodies are weak. We pray for them, Lord, that you'd strengthen them, encourage them, And Lord, make a way for him to come worship with us, if it would please you. And for those who watch us and listen to us, we ask for your blessings and mercies upon them. May Christ be glorified in this service tonight. Please be merciful, gracious, pitiful towards our lost loved ones. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Hymn number 75. Number 75.
Our Lord does abide with us, never leaves us, never forsakes us. I'm going to try to go through these verses a little at a time. And the first thing I want you to see, Paul called the Ephesian elders together. And when he did it to give them a farewell message. And he gave a personal testimony when he did it. But I want you to see here that before, you know, after they left Ephesus, after that uproar there in Greece and in Troas, we went before the ship and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul. for he had so appointed, mindful himself to go afoot. They got in a ship to go over to Assos. Paul said, I want to walk. I want to walk. I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there when the ship gets there. When you all are there, I'll come there. But he wanted to walk. You got to wonder why in the world he wanted to walk that distance. I think maybe he wanted to consider his future because he wants to go to Jerusalem. Maybe he wanted to have some real, real precious time with the Lord by himself, walking along, conversing with Christ, praying, trusting the Lord, telling the Lord what was going on in his heart and in his life, his fears and the things that he was facing. And oh my, and I tell you what, and he started out this way, and you know, and maybe even on the way he had a place to preach, I don't know. But I hear he's walking on this road by himself, everybody else in the ship, they're going to meet him over there. And you know, this is what's so wonderful about the presence of the Lord. We said, abide with me, that no matter where you are, you can enjoy the presence of the Lord. You can enjoy God's presence, whether you're walking, like Paul was, whether you're on your job, whether you're sitting on your porch, whatever you're doing, you can enjoy the Lord's presence. Only thing you've got to do is you've got to think of Him. But when you start thinking about God, trying to address Him as He is, think of Him as He is, He gets so great and so glorious and so full that you get lost when you start thinking about how great and glorious He is. And that's when you really have real worship. And Paul probably walked along here worshiping the Lord. And then look what it says here in verse 14. And then he walked in the ship, and they was on a boat, and they went on with the ship. And when he met with us at Assos, they took him in the ship. He got in the ship with them, and they went on down to Mytilene. And we sailed from there and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos, tarried at Trigilium. The next day we came to Miletus. Now watch what he says here. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And so, you know, he told them, he said, I'll see you at Assos. And he was a faithful man. He witnessed exactly where he was supposed to be, kept his appointment with those people, as anybody will. And he was a very, very honorable man. And I tell you what, and he was faithful, so faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to save time, they sailed past Ephesus. It says they fell past Ephesus and come to Mytilene. And the reason he did, he called the Ephesians elders there. He didn't want to go back to Ephesus. He knew he'd have a hard time getting away from there. And he called them to give his last message, parting message to them, to say farewell to them. He's going to leave them. And in one place there, he says, you'll never see my face again. Can you imagine how that would be? I'll never see your face again. And so that's what he happens. And he called. And in verse 17, he from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Oh my. Leave him his parting message. And his words here in the form of a personal testimony, he talks about himself. And it's not because he had a big ego. It's not because he thought very highly of himself. Because he said, I'm the least of all the saints. Started out the least of the least of the apostles, then the least of the saints, and then he became the chief of sinners. He started out up here and kept going down, down, down. And that's what I think the way believers are. They start up here and they go down, 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 down. The more they know of Christ, the more they see of Him, the less they see of themselves. And I'll tell you, that's what he did. It wasn't, you know, I tell you, he gives a picture of himself. And here's the first thing he said about himself in verse 19. There's three things he says about himself here. He talks about his humility, talks about his tears, And he talks about his trials. And here's the first thing he says, "Serve, and I've been with you at all seasons. No, from the first day I came to you. I've been with you, and no matter what went on in my ministry and what went on in all of you all, I was with you. No matter winter or summer, no matter what the spiritual conditions were, I was with you." And then look what he said in verse 19. "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind." Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And you know that's where it starts. It starts up here. You know what the opposite of humility is? Pride. Pride. The opposite of humility is pride. And Paul didn't have that. In one place he says this, after he is caught up to the third heaven, and he came back, he said, "Lest I be exalted above measure." He said, "God sent me a thorn in the flesh." So he, instead of being exalted, he said, "Lord, if you would take this thorn of flesh away from me." He said, I ain't going to do it. "That my strength is made perfect in your weakness." And that's what happens here. Paul, when he says he had humility of mind, then you know, and this is the thing about it. What you see somebody publicly, you don't know what they are before God. You don't know what they are before God. You don't know what's going on in their heart and life. And you know, when you see, and Paul was a man mightily used of God. And here's the thing about it. There's no room for pride. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, you meek and you learn of me, I'm meek and lowly." How can a person who comes to Christ, who is meek and lowly, have pride and feel real good about themselves? How could they do that? And oh my, where Christ dwells in a man's heart, this has to be humility. It has to be. It's the opposite of pride. And I tell you what, the only way in the world you can actually be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is in humility of mind. You know, that's David says, you know, "A broken, contrite spirit and the sacrifice of a broken heart is acceptable to God." And God's got to break it Himself. And I tell you, you know your spirit. Poor and blessed are they who are poor in spirit. Oh my. And I tell you what, his humility sort of seen later when he talks about working for his own support. Look what he says down in verse 34. Shows you how his humility here, his humbleness. He said, "Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities." He said, I never charged you for anything. I never went to you and said, I need a salary. You fellas need to take care of me." That's not what he said. He says, "You know that with my hands I've ministered unto what I needed, and not only my necessities, but them that were with me." Them that were with me. So, he said, no wonder he said, "I'm the least of the apostles and less than least of all the saints." And you know what he said? "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And then look what else it says about him. Not only was he serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and oh God, please help us have that kind of a mind, heart, and with many tears, and temptations that befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He was a very, very compassionate man. He served the Lord with tears, lots and lots of tears. He tells us here, you know, that he supported these, he poured out tears to these people. He said, I come to you and I didn't shun declaring, and I came with tears. He said, you know, he told the Philippians, "I know them that are enemies of the cross of Christ, but I even tell you now, weeping. And he wasn't what you'd call a real emotional man, but many tears. He had a heart for the gospel. He had a heart for the people he preached to. He had a heart for folks in the condition they were in. He understood that men desperately needed Christ. And I tell you, he ceased not to warn everyone. He said, ain't that what he said? Cease not to warn day and night. Oh my. He served. Oh, he wasn't a His preaching wasn't cold. His preaching wasn't formal. And it certainly wasn't heartless. He had heart in it. Oh, his words had the love of Christ in them and the moistness of his tears with them. And all preachers would get up, and I'd do it all the time. I said, I'll tell y'all. But I tell you, can I tell you, even weeping? Can I do that sometimes? I hope and pray that I do that sometimes. And I tell you, it's an awful thing. You know, for a man to get up and be heartless and use the wisdom of man's words instead of the truth of the gospel. Todd was telling me about three preachers that's going to be together in Lexington. One of them told Todd he was the most obtuse preacher he had ever been. He bet. And he told Todd didn't know what it meant. He had to look it up. Obtuse meant that you're dense. You don't get it. You don't understand. You're not sharp as I am. Not smart as I am. You're too thick. You ain't got the brain I got. That's what it means. And oh, listen. Paul, you know, Todd don't preach like that. I hope I don't preach like that. And certainly Paul didn't preach like that. He preached to people, you know. And the Scriptures tells us, oh, how he wept so many. He said about his own brethren, his kinsmen after the flesh. He said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren. My brethren. My Jewish brethren. If they could be brought to Christ. If they would trust Christ. God, cut me off if you'll save all these people. He was willing to, Lord, cut me off so you can save my people. Of course, he couldn't do that, but it was his heart. That was his heart to do that. Oh, my. I tell you, we can weep over our own sorrows and our own losses. But, oh, my, do we ever weep over Christ and the things that happens in people, the way they treat the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my. And then not only that, but he had these great trials. Look what it says. And temptations and trials. Temptations, trials he's talking about, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. You know how many times, everywhere he went, he had to leave because of the Jews. They would go, you know, he was at Thessalonica. They come up there and said he's turned the world upside down. In Ephesus, that's where they started out great as the goddess of Diana. And when he got, every place he went, the Jews got so mad, and they went everywhere he went and accused him of being a false prophet, lying on God, taking the law and going against Moses and doing everything. They accused him of everything. And they laid in wait for him. One time they said, well, listen, we're going to kill this fella if we can get our hands on him. We're going to kill this fella. So he had these temptations. Everywhere he went, there's Jews after him. And he was a Jew. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews. No, my, then look what else it says about him. In verse 20, and I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. He is faithful. He was faithful. If it's profitable for you, I didn't keep back anything. I didn't pick and choose what I ought to preach. I didn't pick and choose, and I didn't show favoritism. I didn't show love for some and not love for the others. That's not what he said. He was faithful. I kept back nothing that would profit you. And you know the only thing that he talked about profiting somebody with was the gospel. That's the only profitable thing they are. And that's why he says, you know, Jews and Greeks both. Oh, he was a profitable. He was faithful. I kept back nothing that was profitable to you. And he taught, look what he said. He preached publicly. He said, I've showed you, profitable unto you, and have showed you and have taught you publicly. He said, I preached publicly. I preached publicly out in the synagogues. I preached publicly in the marketplace. I preached publicly wherever I got an opportunity. I preached publicly. And then I not only preached publicly, but I preached privately. When I got in your house, I preached. I warned you. I preached the gospel to you. I taught you. I gave everything that was profitable to you. If I was in your home, if I was in the public, private from house to house. And when he went from house to house, he was faithful with the gospel. Faithful with the gospel. Oh, my. And I tell you what, and here's his message. Look at his message. He said, I've preached what was profitable to you. And this is the thing about it. Here's the thing about it. If it's not profitable to us, why do it? Why say it? You know, there's lots of things that people say and do that's not profitable to anybody. But when we're gathered with the Lord's people, no matter whether in our homes or whether we're in public or wherever we're at, we ought to have our conversation as much as we possibly can around the Lord Jesus Christ. Around Him. And Paul said, and here's his message. This is what I taught you from house to house and showed you publicly. Testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Said it'd make any difference to me. All men's the same. Everybody's the same. And he says, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Here's his first message. Repentance toward God. Repentance toward God. That's what John the Baptist come preaching. Repentance. Flee from the wrath to come. And repentance, he says, you have a different view of God than you've got. Don't go to the God of the law. Don't go to the God that set about a bunch of rules and regulations for it. Repentance toward God as He's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God. Change your mind about God and come to faith and believe the Lord Jesus Christ whom God set forth. Now, I tell you what, and you're talking about a missing note in today's preaching. How many preachers have you heard preach on repentance toward God? Repentance toward God. We all talking about faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh my, a man's mind's got to be changed concerning God Almighty. That's the first thing that talks about repentance toward God. A lot of people say repentance is turning from your sin. Well, if that's so, then I ain't turned to God yet. Because I still got plenty of rottenness in me. But I tell you what it means is that my mind has been changed about God. And you know what it's been changed about God? That God gave His blessed Son, and I've come to believe Him and trust Him and Him alone for my salvation and for my righteousness. That's what He's talking about here. And oh my. And down here in, I think it is in verse 27, look what He says. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now what does He mean here? He said, all the will of God, all the counsel of God, all the purpose of God. So, I mean, he was there for over 3.5 years. He done a lot of preaching. A lot of preaching. And he said, when I come up to something about God, I faced it and faced you with it. I did not shun anything in God's Word to deal with you. Not anything. Anything. And you know, when he wrote to church at Ephesus, you know the first thing he said was, all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation. That's where he started at. So that's what he's teaching these people here. Oh, I tell you, Paul didn't have no theories. He didn't get up there and come up with a bunch of theories and a bunch of intellectualism or anything like that or defend something. No. He got up and declared the gospel. He got up and declared repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you one thing, a man that seeks popularity and the praise of men, he's not fit to be a preacher. He's certainly not fit to be a pastor. He's certainly not fit for anything if he seeks the praise and praise of men and not the glory of Christ. And that's what Paul did. More than anything else is the glory of Christ. And you come across a person that won't do that, give the whole counsel of God, shun the whole counsel of God, not give it all. I've heard people tell me, I believe in election, but I don't think we ought to preach it. I believe in God's sovereignty, but we don't need to go to seat on it. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to see it all because, I mean, it's everything to me. If God's not God, what in the world are we worshiping? And oh my. But I tell you, he's a traitor to Christ who don't declare the whole counsel of God. Don't deal with the Word as He comes to it. And I mean, that tells God's will and purpose in Christ. And I tell you what, and then look what else it says about him. He was interested in the will of God and submissive to the will of God. He said he wanted to be at Pentecost, at Jerusalem by Pentecost. And look what he says here in verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. What spirit is he bound by? By his own spirit. I've got to go to Jerusalem. The Spirit of God's not doing that. He's bound to go. He wants to go so much. And he's bounded in his spirit that I've got to get to Jerusalem. I've got to get there. And he says, and not knowing the things which shall befall me there. I don't know what's going to happen to me when I get there. I don't have a clue what's going to happen to me. But listen to what else he says. He said, I do know this, that everywhere I go, the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me or wait for me. When I get to Jerusalem, I'm going to be held in bondage. They're going to bind me. They're going to jail me. They're going to mistreat me. And I'm going to have lots and lots and lots of afflictions. That's what he says. But look what else he says now. But none of these things move me. Oh my goodness. None of these things move me. You're going to have trouble, Paul. You're going to be bound up, Paul. They're going to bind you. You're going to have all kinds of afflictions. Don't bother me a bit. That's what he said. He said, none of these things move me. I'm not moved by them. I'm not troubled by them. Here's a man who actually wrote in Romans chapter 8, we know that all things work together for good to them that are called of God, to them that love God and called according to His purpose. Oh, he believed that. He said, I don't care what happens to me. He said, that don't bother me. I don't move me. So I get in bonds. Okay. I get in afflictions and they afflict me and they beat me. Whatever they do, I don't know. But I know this. It does not move me. And listen to this. What else he says? Neither count I my life dear unto myself. My life absolutely don't mean anything in light of Christ and what I have in Him. He said, I don't even count my life dear unto myself. If they take my life, I just get to go to Christ. That's the way he looked at things. And this is why he says, I don't count my life dear unto myself. And here's the reason. Oh my, listen to this. Here's the reason. He said here, you know, bonds and afflictions. And he said, I count my life that I might finish my course with joy. You know, God gives all of us a course. Every one of us who are saved by the grace of God. God started us the day He saved us by His blessed grace. He already had our course picked out for us. Where we'd go and how we'd live and everything about our lives already predetermined by God. And that's why Paul said that I might finish the course. God laid out a course for me. And look what he says. When I might finish it with joy. Joy. If my life ends, I want it to end with joy. And the ministry, oh, listen to this now. And the ministry I have received of the Lord Jesus. He said, God gave me this ministry. I received this ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he said. I said, I have received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So I mean, this man, he was so enraptured with Christ and the gospel. And he didn't count himself to be anything but Christ to be his life. It really, truly was his life. And oh my. And he says, you know, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. When a test, if somebody testifies, that you expect them to tell the truth. You reckon he told the truth about the Lord Jesus and the gospel of the grace of God? Like there was some other gospel? Oh my. I tell you, his meat and drink was to do the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Redeemer. And I tell you what, he was more willing and more glorified Christ more than anything. And oh my. And that's what he says. Remember in 2 Timothy where he said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. And I finished my course. You know what's waiting for me? You know what's waiting? Crown of life. Crown of life. And he said, I'm ready to depart. Ready to depart. Oh, my. Jeremiah said this. God said it through Jeremiah the prophet. Seek not great things for yourself. A man that seeks great things for himself, he's unfit. He is absolutely unfit. When our Lord said, if any man comes after me, let him deny himself and follow me. And then listen, he wasn't afraid of nothing. You know, he was a courageous man. And he says in verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. You know, Paul had no fear of man, whatsoever. None. No fear of God. He had a gospel to preach. And I tell you, he had a gospel to preach. And he intended to preach that gospel. And the gospel's preached in love. He said, you know, our Lord Jesus says, and Paul said, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. And that's what he did. And he had that heart. You know, the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in a man's heart. And he did have the Holy Ghost shed abroad the love of God in his heart. And he loved the Lord Jesus and he loved the souls of men. And I tell you, he shunned everything else that went with it. And let me hurry up and tell you a few things. There's three verses here I'm going to read to you and then comment on them. 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now he turns on them. He's giving them an exhortation. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. That's the first thing he says. You take heed to yourself. Don't take heed to somebody else. You take heed to yourself. You take heed to yourself before you do anything else. And look what he says now. And to all the flock. First start with yourself and then watch the flock. Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you seers. These fellows just didn't decide I'm going to be a preacher. Holy Ghost made them overseers of the church of God. And feed the church of God. Which he hath purchased with his own blood. Christ purchased us, the church, with his own blood. And listen to this now. This is astounding to me. I almost wept today when I read this. For I know this, that after my departing, after I leave, and after I'm gone a while, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He said, there'll be men in here. They don't care about God's sheep. They don't care about the Lord's sheep. They don't care about Christ and His sheep and what He paid for them. He don't care about that. All He wants is to be recognized, to be somebody. Oh my. And then listen to this. And then He turns around. You're talking about fearless man. He's talking to these fellows here. These fellows are in charge, and they're the elders in the church of Ephesus. And also of your own selves. Also out of your own, some of you out of your own selves. Out of your group, out of this church. Out of this body of believers. Oh, shall your own selves, shall men arise. Speaking perverse things. Twisting the scriptures, speaking perverse things. And here's the only reason they do it. to draw away disciples after them. You know why there's so many church buildings and so many preachers and so many congregations just in Cumberland County? I think somebody told me there's over 200. You know why? Somebody told a young preacher, he got up and got to preach. He said, "Boy, I sure do like to hear you preach. I think you're a better preacher than the preacher." Oh, my goodness, I sure enjoy you. Well, next thing you know, he thinks, "Man, I need to be the preacher here." Well, folks, you know, don't agree with that. So what he does, he takes his four and his five and his family and his wife and his daughter and takes three or four people, and he goes off and starts a church. And that has happened countless times over the years. I could tell you how many times. I don't know how many times I know it's happened. But oh, they wanted to draw disciples not to Christ, but away from Christ. To themselves. Counting numbers. You know, so many churches count numbers. Oh my goodness, they count numbers. They are really interested in numbers. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he says, we was talking about business meetings. I said, "Boy," I said, "you know, I tell you, you got to have a high sheriff and two deputies, boy, to have a business meeting in some of these Baptist churches." He said, "Well, yeah. Yeah, but said, it's not that way where we are. Our preacher does a good job." I said, "We ain't had a business meeting in 30, since we've been in this building. We ain't had a business meeting." And he said, "How in the world y'all do things?" I said, "We just get together and talk things out. And people, when you love people, you trust them. You don't have to meet with a whole bunch of people to decide how much tissue you're going to buy, how much toilet paper you're going to buy, whether you're going to, how much money you're going to spend in the budget, you know, on this, that, and the other, and all that stuff." No, no. But that's what these fellas, they want to draw disciples after themselves. And oh my, what a warning he gave these people. Take heed to yourselves. And then look what he says there in verse 31. He said, "Therefore watch. You fellas watch." I mean, I want you watching. You watch one another. You watch the church of God. You watch the flock. You watch. And remember this, that by the space of 3 years, 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I wanted you all to know Christ. I wept over your souls. And I love this right here. Listen to this now. He said, "Now, brethren," he said, look what he says now. "Now, brethren," he calls them brethren, "I commend you to God." Here, Lord, they're yours. I commend you to God. Lord, we'll give them up to you. And then look what he says. "And to the word of his grace." God and the word of his grace, "which is able to build you up." Strengthen you. Build you up in the faith. Build you up in grace. Build you up in Christ. "And listen, not only to do that, but to give you an inheritance." Give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And then one thing I tell you about him. He wasn't a greedy man. He wasn't a covetous man. He says this in verse 33. "I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel." I didn't want anything you got. Didn't want anything you got. And there's no doubt some people there had some money. Had some money. I remember years ago, but you know, when there used to be a lot of different missionaries, they'd come to a church and things like that, and they would just get to the, they'd find out who had the money, and they'd just endear themselves to them people. Endear themselves to them people. You know, because they covet silver and gold. But Paul said, I don't need your money. I don't need your gold. I certainly don't need any clothes. He said, "You know how? When I needed something, I worked for it with my own hands." That's what he said. When I needed something, I did it with my own hands. And not only for me, but everybody that was with me. The preachers that were with me. And then look what he says now. And I have showed you all things, how that soul laboring, and when he's talking about his own labor now, soul laboring, you ought to support the weak. If there's weak among you that's not able to do things for themselves, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. To you labor to be able to help them that are in need. And oh my, this is so sad right here. And when he had thus spoken, look what he done. He kneeled down. And I think everybody, all them men that were there with him, they knelt down with him. Luke was there. I mean, all these men that traveled with him. He kneeled down after he spoke all these things. He kneeled down and prayed with all of them. Hey, what a prayer meeting. Wouldn't you love to have been there and heard that prayer? Oh, my. And he kneeled down and prayed with them. And listen to this. And they all began to weep. Oh, they wept. And it says wept sore. I mean, they just wept profusely. And fell on Paul's neck. Every one of them went to hugging him. Fawned on his neck. Went to hugging him and kissing him. Hugging and kissing him. They loved him so much they hugged his neck. They was all crying. They was all crying. And they all tears. They left their tears on his cheeks. They left their tears on his clothes. They left their tears where they kissed him. And here's what they said. Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. That's what bothers them. We'll never see you again. And they followed him. They said, well, we'll walk with you back to the ship. We'll walk with you back to the ship. And then he said, you know, you'll never see me again. Never see me again. Can you imagine these folks that loved him so much and he loved them? What a sorrowful, sorrowful thing it was. Our Lord and our God, precious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for men like this apostle who gave his personal testimony, gave warnings. And Lord, I don't know how many other need these things, but I need them. Being a preacher, being a pastor, I need these things to warn me. Strengthen me. Encourage me. And oh Lord, please, you set a watch. David says, set a watch on my mouth. Set a watch on my heart. Don't let us be double-hearted or double-minded. Let us be single-hearted, single-minded, single-eyed. Only for the glory of Christ and the blessed good of His people while we live in this world. Oh, Lord, we need you as we sung that song this evening. Oh, Lord, abide, abide, abide. All around change and decay I see. Oh, thou who changest not, abide with me. Bless these dear saints and keep them for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Good night and God bless you. See you Sunday, Lord willing.